Welcome to the Talkin' Talker podcast from DPR Studios. Our Talkin' Talker hosts are UFC light heavyweight champion and Fox Sports analyst DC Daniel Cormier and Zappos founder and Lucha Venture CEO Nick Swimmer. On this very first episode, they ramble on about a variety of topics, including how they met, who made DC scream like a little girl, creepy massages and rumbling stomachs, Shaqtin' Fool, interim belts, UFC 209 predictions, Pokemon Go, and Luke Rockhold's giant telescope.
All right, we're trying this. It's me, Nick Swinburne, in the Podcast Central, the Talk and Talker podcast. Why Talk and Talker? Because one guy actually speaks the truth, me, and then another guy just loves to hear himself speak. That's Nick. Nick, introduce yourself as we get started on this podcast journey.
I am the all-talk version of this podcast.
When in the world in our relationship have you been the guy with the actual facts?
Most of the time.
Come on.
I'd agree with that.
I don't think that you have been the guy with the facts.
How did we meet? Let's go over that. That'll be a good first disagreement.
So I think the first thing is, and you know, we have Dennis over here, our audio guy, who is actually going to be the guy keeping score the majority of the time.
Yep, scorekeeper.
He will be the scorekeeper. Not only the scorekeeper, he will actually tell us when we are right and wrong the facts. Right. He will find facts, and if there is an argument, the sole decision, let's get this settled, that it boils down to Dennis. If you and I are at odds, Dennis is the judge, the jury, and the executioner in this organization.
All right.
I like it.
You like it, Dennis?
Yes.
Can you deal with that?
I can absolutely deal
Dennis
with it.
Dennis he's going to go through a variety of emotions during this thing.
Well, your first job is actually coming up here, Dennis, because I believe that my recollection of us meeting is going to have more facts and more basis to stand on, and you will favor me when you make your decision. Nick, would you like to go first so that I can come and crush your argument, or would you prefer to piggyback off of me as you're going to be doing this whole time?
I'll go first.
All right, let's go.
So what I remember was getting a call from Dwayne and Bob, Dwayne Zink and Bob Cook, saying, come down to AKA. We've got this guy coming out who, great wrestling background. He's going to be teaching class. Mm-hmm. He may become the wrestling coach at AKA, what do you want me to come for? I don't know. Just come and, you know, we can talk. So I went to watch this class, and there was this guy yelling at everyone. And, all I remember was they were doing squat jumps at the end. Mm-hmm. And I was amazed like how low everyone was jumping.
We're not basketball players.
But you go in and you're like, oh, these are world-class athletes, and I'm just a regular guy. Like, what the fuck? I could jump that high if I had to. But I realized they probably went through a heck of a workout. Then we went to eat Santana Row. Mm-hmm. I think we went to, like, Cajun place. Maybe. Which is probably, like, taking an Irish guy to an Irish bar. He wants to eat Irish food. But we started talking about basketball. And mm-hmm. from what I remember, we sat there talking about basketball the majority of lunch. And then Dwayne afterwards was like, that was great. I didn't know you knew so much about basketball, and I didn't know DC was interested in basketball. So that worked out good. Am I wrong? Is that not when we met? Or you got some
truth? So there are parts to that, that is very true. Came to wrestling practice. We went to lunch in Santana Row. And we had Cajun food. Now,
so far, so good.
So here, this is where mine actually trumps his. I not only know that we went to the Cajun restaurant, I know the name of the Cajun restaurant, and I also know the year in which I met Nick Swinburne, and also the conversation we actually had. So, Rue, Cajun restaurant in Santana Row, which now is closed.
It's not there anymore.
No, it's not closed. So
wait, it is closed or not closed?
It's closed.
Oh.
It is closed. Okay, Daniel was wrong just there. It is closed. We spoke about Tracy McGrady and the Golden State Warriors. Now, I am a Rockets fan. I love the Houston Rockets. And this guy, for some reason that I could not understand, was wanting to essentially argue me down with a team that had no grounds to stand on at the moment. So I believe, Dennis, that because I remember the year 2009, I remember the actual place that we went, that on the big board here, we're going to call that Sean Livingston jersey that should be retired, the big board, marked down one for DC, zero for Nick, because my recollection of the story has a little more detail than yours did.
I think the gym happened first, and I can still picture the lack of height on the squat jumps, so I think I should get points for that.
Well, I mean, just knowing the name of the restaurant is actually pretty big. So.
Yeah. We'd have no idea if it's true, but...
It is. Let's look it up.
How do you spell it?
Roux. R-O-U-X in Santana Row.
R-O-U-X. I never spelled it like that.
It's a Cajun thing. You know, I'm from Louisiana, right. So it's a Cajun thing. Roux is a... It's like a base for making gumbo in all the stuff we make down there. So
yep, that was it.
That was it. Roux Cajun restaurant. So going there, Dennis...
One for DC.
Nick?
Right, fine. One for DC. I worked best out of a hole.
Huh?
I worked best from behind.
Well, you're going to be behind a lot in this whole situation. So, now, this is my thing. We've been friends for a while now. 7 years. We've been to a lot of basketball games, a lot of football games. The crazy thing about our relationship in sports is when we go, I remember these fantastic courtside seats we had. Remember you used to give me the seats. When you wouldn't go, I would get the seats. That was before you became like super big league and started getting the seats like right next to the scores table before you had some in a corner.
Until I kept inviting him and he kept showing up either after halftime or around halftime he would say, hey, my bad, I'm not going to make it.
No, listen, I would go at halftime because like the cool fans show up later when the game starts to matter. As I was kind of starting to take in the whole California vibe.
I'm sitting there like the guy that got stood up on a date, so sitting by myself.
Nick had these seats and they were kind of off in the corner. They were on the floor, but off in the corner. Then he had four. Sometimes he would give me all four tickets. I loved it. I would take my friends. I had no money. So I had these tickets and I could show off because I'm like, I'm going to the Warriors courtside. Then he got seats right next to the scores table. And I sat there. And I remember the first game we went to there. You remember we were sitting right on the floor. And all of a sudden, the commissioner of the NBA comes over. And I'm like, why would David Stern be coming over here? And it was because the guy that was sitting right next to us was buying the Sacramento Kings.
Right, yeah, Mark Mastroff.
You remember that? And you're like, DC, that's... And the guy was talking to you. Yeah. I'm like, why is this guy talking to Nick? He's like, the guy's buying the Kings. I was like, what's this dude talking to Nick for? And then when the commissioner comes over, I'm like, holy cow. And the guy ended up buying the Kings.
Yeah. Yeah, I met him from sitting next to me. And he tried to buy the Warriors before the Warriors were sold. And they ended up buying the Kings. He was the founder of 24 Hour Fitness.
24 Hour Fitness.
Yeah.
So going back to it. In our relationship in sports, Nick, when I first met him, he had San Francisco 49ers tickets. So we would go watch the Niners versus the Saints. We never lost. And then the Niners got good. But when the Niners got good, Nick had switched. He went back to the Raiders. Yeah. So then we would go and beat the Raiders like every time. And even when we went to the Warriors and Rockets, the Rockets would never lose to them. But this was before this whole, you know, my opinions on the Warriors now are fairly strong. This is before then, but I don't think I've ever lost to Nick.
I got
to
classify the Niners thing because that was a mistake in my life. So I was a Raider fan. I was a kid. The Raiders moved to LA, and then I somehow became a Browns fan. Right, like I think the first college football game I watched was Bernie Kosar played. He got drafted by the Browns, so I was this Browns fan. Then the Browns moved to Baltimore. The Raiders came back to Oakland, so I went back to being a Raider fan. So I had season tickets for a long time. Then I have my son. So my wife liked the Niners, and we live close to Candlestick, where they were at the time. So we were talking about, well, the Raider games might be a little too rough, and, you know, all his friends are going to be Niner fans, and we should try to raise him as a Niner fan. I'm like, oh, fuck, all right. So we tried it. So this was the 2 years before Harbaugh. So I got a bunch of tickets. I got a Patrick Willis jersey. We take him these games, and I just felt like I was trying to be a Niner fan, but it just wasn't. It just felt like, it felt like it is a Raider fan wearing a 49er jersey trying to be a 49er fan for his son who could care less about football. I just pictured DC came in a Saints jersey. He had his Cage Fighter black and gold shorts over his pants. They were just walking around. It was like,
I'll tell you one thing. Those Niners fans, they're as aggressive as Raiders fans. It was like, what in the world is going on
here? So at these games, you got like, so Niners fans are more like little gangbangers and stuff. And then you go to the Oakland game, and it's more like the older biker gang stuff, right? Which is a much more comfortable environment to be
in. I like it.
So I gave up those tickets the year before Harbaugh went back to Raiders. But some people bring that up all the time because they think it's the most ridiculous thing, which it kind of is. The Warriors, I mean, those were some rough years compared to the Rockets.
I mean, at the time, we were rolling. Yeah. You remember that? I mean, we had Tracy McGrady. Yeah. That one year, we had Metal World Peace, Tracy McGrady, and Yao Ming.
World Peace?
We had World Peace. Huh. We had the squad. And this guy's talking like they're actually going to win. And I was like, man, there's no way. We would run the score up on them. I mean, we never took the foot off the gas against the Warriors.
So Yao Ming was crazy because he was there's only a few people in person where you see him and it's just like his legs were like, it wasn't even crazy. Human. Right. And then like Allen Iverson in person is like when he floats sideways, like how the hell did he do that? And Yao Ming, but you see, he's all excited to see Tracy McGrady. Right. So he's like, oh, I want to see, you know, T-Mac. I love T-Mac. Yeah. If he comes by, I'm going to say, hey, what's up? And he wasn't playing. He was injured. So he was all bummed out. So we're sitting there and we're talking and we're like a couple rows back and all of a sudden, we're talking. And he stops talking. And he's kind of got his hands like kind of shaking in front of his chest. And he's like, "Ooh, ooh, ooh!
Look, come on!" Look.
And then, and you see Tracy McGrady walking by. He's like looking at us. He's like walking past us sideways. And then he's like, "Ooh, T-Mac!"
No, I didn't.
And I'm like, "What?" And like, it was the most ridiculous thing.
Come on!
Like, literally high pitched, T-Mac, Tracy. And he didn't look over or nothing.
Yes, he just did look over.
He might have been like,
he absolutely looked over.
Yeah.
He looked over.
Yeah, he told this guy, he's like, hey, right, hey, get that girl for, oh, it's, no, forget that.
Who is that guy? But he did look back a little bit. Not even a full turn. He gave like a quarter turn, but he did acknowledge me. So.
That was probably what? That was
10 maybe? 11 at the latest. 10 or 11 at the latest.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, but earlier than that, probably.
9 or 10, I think. Yeah. But since that day, I've said that I know Tracy McGrady.
Have you met him since then, or no?
No, I haven't. Oh. But that quarter turn, him acknowledging me, it's enough. I know Tracy McGrady. He was one of my favorite players. You know, he could score anytime he wanted to score, essentially. You know, so, yeah. Man, those were some good times. You know, it's like, it's crazy because when you first meet someone, and my career is just starting, I think you were just coming off of the Zappos thing, so you were kind of like just kind of having more time and starting to dethrone. So you had more time. You didn't have the restaurants and the gym and everything else. So it was like there was just more time. I wasn't doing the Fox stuff. We had more time to actually like just hang out.
Yeah, time is the hardest part now.
It's the craziest thing. It's like now you don't have time to really do anything, so your friendships are a few text messages occasionally because you can't get to a basketball game or you can't get to a football game. But I'm telling you, that first couple years, we went to a lot of things. I mean, we went to every year the football teams play, we went. I'd always come watch the Rockets, and it's like, no, man. He's like, he's got so much going on. I've got so much going on that it's tough.
I don't even have my tickets anymore for the I just got too busy. Last year, I went to like a quarter of the games.
The Warriors games?
Yeah. This year, I was like,
I would see you guys occasionally. I'm like, where's Nick? Because I start to look in that area for them sitting in the seats. But he wasn't there like this year, you know?
I still get busy. People that are like, I'll see him and I haven't seen him in a while. And they're like, oh, I've seen you all the time at Warriors games. I'm like, well, you haven't watched a Warriors game in like a year then.
Do you remember last year? I was looking on somebody's Snapchat or Instagram story.
Oh, Usher's.
I was like on Usher's Instagram story, and I was like, wait, that's Nick. So I screen grabbed it and texted it to him because he was sitting on the floor, and
a playoff game. I think it was game five when Draymond was suspended. Game five or game six. We had home court. Yeah, game five. I don't remember, but the game was
so Draymond suspended. So this is another opportunity to fact check because I know exactly what game it was.
Game was Draymond suspended? So anyway, so after the game ends, we're like everyone thought the Warriors were going to win the championship that night. Mm-hmm. Draymond was at the had a suite at the A's game. They all had it all figured out how he was going to get over there. It was already set up, like where the party inside was going to be afterwards and all this stuff. And then we had all the momentum. And then Cleveland won. And I didn't even realize, because most people were standing up the whole game. So all of a sudden the crowd starts clearing out. And then there's this guy like a couple of rows ahead, just like, you know, filming. And I just, my wife was like, there's Usher. And we're like, has he been there the whole time? I guess he's been there the whole time. But we're just like in zombie mode, right? Like, we're supposed to be going to like a back-to-back championship celebration. Instead, it's like, oh, that didn't happen. And he's just sitting there walking through a bunch of like mesmerized Warriors fans. So all you see me is me just standing behind him, just looking like, what the fuck? Like,
it's great. You know?
Like in your head, you're like, oh, look, there's your brain's still working. Like, oh, there's Usher, but your facial expression is just.
And I screenshotted it. Lost. And I sent it to him. I was going, hey, how'd you enjoy the game?
And that was before I deleted Snapchat. So then I was like, oh, so I had to follow Usher to see myself. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up following him for a long time. And I was always like, the guy posts so much stuff, like constantly. I was like, what? That's the weird thing about, so you just follow someone for no reason. I mean, actually, with the Warrior store we just opened, I deleted Twitter eventually because I'm like, you're following this stuff. You're just reading all these things and you start to feel like you know the people and you don't. And we had an event at the store. All these guys came in. I'm like, oh, I know that guy. I know that guy. I know that guy. I know that guy. I've never met him, but I know them through their Twitter personality.
So you deleted it because you don't want to feel like that?
I deleted Twitter and Snapchat because we're talking about time, right? I was like, I don't have time. And I realized, oh, how much time am I sitting there just like subconsciously or subconsciously just scrolling through Twitter? Because Twitter, like, I like Twitter because it's always like information and interesting things to read and perspectives. Mm-hmm. We just spent so much time scrolling through it. Snapchat is more like, it's kind of interesting, but I never quite figured out, like, what am I doing? Like, why am I, you know?
Why am I on
Snapchat? Am I watching this? Why am I? And it's not like, you can't search for topics. It's not like, it's not the first one to tell you when something happened. So I was like, I just got to delete this shit. And I don't want to get tempted into, like, every once in a while I would post something because I felt like, well, I should be posting something too. And then you're sitting there posting stuff and you're trying to figure out, like, did anyone look at it? And then you realize, wait, I got like 4 followers. So now why am I posting this? I could text this to 4 people.
To the same 4 people that are following me, yeah. I could text this to them and be like, oh, Luke looks cute
and
today.
And then there's like this burden. And then every once in a while, though, someone would say like, oh, I saw that on your Snapchat. It's like, oh, all right.
I never did Snapchat. I've never done Snapchat. I have Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And I only have those because I can't handle any more social media. Just too much. It's like, I can't keep up. It's like, I'll look at my Facebook fan page and I'll look at it and I'm like, wow, I haven't put anything on there in 5 months because the guy that used to do it, he doesn't do it anymore because he got into a fight with somebody else and he's like, I'm done. I can't do it anymore. So now it's like, nobody does it. So it's like, I don't do it. He doesn't do it. So now it kind of goes unattended at times. But when I do post something, it gets a lot of love because people aren't overcrowded with information. You know, I don't know how some people do so much social media stuff. Now here's a question though. This podcast, how'd this come about, and like why do we believe people actually want to hear us talk about just stuff?
Well, I got 4 followers, so my expectations are that.
I mean, you know, like what exactly are we wanting to, I mean, just what exactly are we trying to put out there? You know, like, what do we want to accomplish with this deal? I mean, if I got to say so myself, I think we're pretty cool guys, but, you know.
I think we just talk. It's interesting. You have insight into things.
Yeah. Well, you have insight into a few things yourself.
Yeah, we have different perspectives.
Yeah.
I think we got people we can talk to. They'll be willing to talk to us.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can, you know, know them on a level where we can ask questions people be more interested in.
Yeah.
People always hear about like what happened, but they don't hear enough about like, you know, why or what were you thinking or how were you feeling, mm-hmm. or that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So I think I think having the record state, you know, so many times, how right I am versus DC is interesting, right? So if nothing else, they'll be
you just win arguments.
Yeah,
come on.
So I just say to people like, hey, look at this.
And I also think that the ability to have people and really just kind of talk to them and ask them stuff, like you said, most people won't ask. I know that when I do other things and I'm interviewing people, there's a pretty good idea of a box that these interviews are going to stay in.
Yeah.
And I think that with such with something like this where it's open, you can actually just really kind of expand the types of things you want to discuss with people and also allow people to really give a better a better idea of who they are in this type of situation. So yeah. I'm excited for it. I love it. I think this is going to be a fun ride.
Yeah, that's going to be great. It doesn't have to, and it's not pigeonhole ourselves as like, oh, we're only going to talk about fighting or whatever. We can talk with people about a bunch of different things.
Yes, so and that's the beauty and the differences between you and I. You know, it's like you can talk to people in a different field as you can talk to the people in my field. I can actually go and find people from my field, and now some of the people I've made relationships through my career. You know, so yeah. I think it'll be good.
And you'll be more polished. I'll be a little more. What's this guy talking about? Speaking of which, you've never seen the logo that we came up with.
Oh,
let me text you this.
Let's look at that
masterpiece.
Thing.
Let's get your thoughts on it.
So for the record, guys, think. Nick has a brother, Dan, who's the smart one. So all these logos and everything comes from Nick's brother.
No, this guy, my buddy Ken did it.
And now he doesn't even want to give his brother credit. So it's like,
no, I give him credit for being smarter, but not for the logo.
He's like, you know, he's sending it over here like he did it, you know. But reality is, it probably went through old Dan, but now Ken, I guess. So I'm just waiting for this thing to come through. See, so there's a possibility that Nick doesn't even have my correct number in his phone. I'm sitting here and the text message has not come through.
No, I got the one earlier that said gonna be a little late. And then I got the one from a couple days ago where you said, I'll be there at 10. I said, I'll see you at 10:45.
I was not here at 10:45.
And you said, any man that sleeps past 10 has problems. And then you got here at 10:30. Those are facts, Dennis.
Okay.
Can we tie this up?
Dennis.
Look at this. I got text messages.
He does have.
One-to-one.
So, Dennis, I said, I'll be here at 10 o'clock. Any man that sleeps past 10 is out of his mind, which is true. True. Do you agree with that?
I totally agree with
that. As you get older, it's impossible. I don't even think it's physically possible to sleep to 10 anymore.
The latest I can sleep is 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. I'm about to be 38 years old. So every morning I'm like, God, I'm really... And then I can't figure out how to turn the alarm off of my phone. So it's like I did something to my phone where it just rings at 6:55 every single day, regardless of what I'm doing. My alarm starts, and these phones nowadays are so crazy that I can't even figure out how to turn the alarm off.
We should also talk about the keyboard. So before we started recording, we had we were getting our laptops set up. And Dennis, you know, Dennis knows everything in the world of audio, visual, computer, everything. So DC was typing, and Dennis said, hey, if you guys smack the table, the mic's going to pick that up. And that was
so
like,
you asked, so should we smack the table?
I said, should we smack the table? I didn't know that was like a good thing or a bad thing. And then DC was typing. So generally when you type, there's a little noise that happens when your fingers hit the keys. And he said, hey, Dennis, this noise that's happening when I'm typing, is that my fingers or is that the computer?
There's an explanation for that. You know, there's an explanation. I mean, it came out wrong. But what I was asking was, do you know how on your phone you can hear the little keypad clicks? I thought I was hearing the keypad clicks on my computer, not my fingers touching the keyboard. So laugh all you want, Nick, but it was because I thought I was getting the keyboard clicks. That's why.
Nice. Did you get the logo yet?
I haven't gotten it, but I had to turn off the Wi-Fi because Nick refuses to give me his Wi-Fi passcode.
It didn't work?
I got it. I got... Oh, the guy... It's good.
It's pretty good, right?
It's really good. Yeah. Now, I don't know if it is a great representation of my hairline. I think my hairline's a little fuller than that. But I mean...
Yeah, yours is a little straighter than that.
I don't even know if my hairline's... No, I don't even have a hairline. If my hairline looked as good as this guy on the picture, holy cow.
I thought he did a good job, though. He knocked that out yesterday.
He made it look like us.
Yeah.
This is a really, really good picture. I like it. I'm going to start putting that out places. That's really nice. But, again, I do believe that my hairline is misrepresented.
My hairline's good on there, I think. Pretty good.
You know, people tell me stuff like, your hair is actually further back than you even know. And I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, well, it's kind of back in the middle of your head now. It's time for you to shave it.
Wait, so, you don't make a line.
Oh yeah, I do.
Really?
I'm holding on, man.
What would happen if you didn't make the line?
It would look bad, like it is now.
Just go forward a little bit more?
No, it does not go forward.
Because you can't make it go forward. You can only make it go backwards if you make a line.
You can only make it go back. So every time I get a haircut now, I'm essentially pushing it further and further back. Well, my whole family has this problem. Like, we have this problem with the receding hairline. I have a nephew that's 6, and this dude's hairline was receding already. I was like, poor kid. You can see it, like, if you look from the top, you can see the shaded area where it's going to actually go out. And he's going to have that far back hairline.
We get the circle in the back first. I remember being on an escalator and someone took a picture. And I was facing forward on the escalator. They were up ahead of me and they were just taking a picture of the casino or something. And I was like, oh, fuck. Like, that's what the back of my head looks like? I'm like, holy shit. So then I got to keep it close because the longer my hair gets, the more bald I look.
Isn't that like the biggest, like when you realize that, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That happened to me too with the people in my wrestling team. They were up top. You know how at AKA they have the top, you can look down into the room?
Yeah.
They were taking pictures of class. And I saw the back of my hair. And I was like, and you guys call yourself friends. You're my friends, but you're allowing me to go out with this as the back of my head?
Yeah.
I had no idea it was that bald.
It's like if you wear a hat sometimes, right? If you need a haircut, the longer the hair gets, the more clear it is that like there's not that many hairs there. And then you go to like the chiropractor or something, right? Sometimes the chiropractor, they give you a massage first and you can't wear your hat because your head won't fit on the table with a little hole in there. So it's like, fuck. So you take your hat off and the whole time you're just lying face down, just thinking that the person above you is just disgusted and looking down.
Judging you. Like, it's just oh, like, you're fuck.
Then you start there thinking and going, what are you talking about? Like, I don't even know what the person behind me looks like. Because I was already face down when they walked in the room. Like, they could have been, you know, worse off than this.
So, when that story, like, makes me think of one time I'm in Stillwater, Oklahoma. And I'm at the dentist. And I don't know if the lady who was doing my teeth had to use the bathroom or if she was hungry. But her stomach made the loudest noises for, like, 2 hours. I'm like, finally, I go, do you have to go to the bathroom? Because her stomach was making these, it was bad. And it continued to get worse and worse and worse over time as she was doing my teeth. So I'm like, just go to the bathroom and send somebody else in here. Because if you go to the bathroom, don't come back in and start playing in my teeth. So I don't know if she was being like kind and like generous to me by not going to the bathroom and coming back and cleaning my freaking teeth. Or if she just was hungry. But I mean, something really needed to be done because she was right above me. And her belly was right next to my head. Man, these sounds, it like my head was inside of her stomach the entire time.
Yeah.
It was bad.
It's a weird, like when you know your stomach's about to rumble and it's almost like you're trying to suppress it.
It makes it worse.
There's no muscle you squeeze or something that makes that go away. And then as it's happening, you just hope, like the worst is just a long one where it just keeps going and going and going.
But why does it do that though?
I don't know. And it's not that weird when it happens to someone. It's not as weird when it happens to someone else, but when it happens to you and it's about to happen, it's like, it's horrifying. I mean, not horrifying, but...
It sucks.
Yeah.
Well, because you feel like people hear it.
Yeah.
But could you imagine doing that, though, as a dental assistant, cleaning someone's teeth?
And your head is pretty close to their stomach, and they sit next
to you.
You're
right there the whole time. You're like this. Your head's up backwards while the person's stomach is right next to you as they're doing their thing.
I had one other time I had the massage before the chiropractor, and, you know, sometimes, and like, you feel a little bit of pressure. Like where the hands, whatever. And it would just kind of every once in a while just go limp. And I was like, and it's sitting back there and I'm like, it's weird. At first I'm like, oh, maybe she's checking her phone or something. I don't know. And then it was almost like she shook herself too. And she'd start massaging again. And then it would just go limp. And I was like, this is the awkwardest, weirdest thing. And I'm not going to give instruction. I'm just going to sit here and hope this, you know, the chiropractor comes in soon. So this will be over. And then, I feel her catch her, like she braced herself with her elbow on my back. And so I'm like, turn around. I'm like, hey, are you all right? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, dude, I think I'm like watching one of these. I'm like on this intervention or something. You know, they would show like, oh, she went to work. She tried to play it off. But I'm thinking there's probably little drips of slobber on my back and just out cold from something. So I went to the desk afterwards. I was like, hey, you might want to check on the massage therapist. Like, she's kind of coming in and out of consciousness, I guess,
so-
while she massaged me. And they're like, so, oh, really? And they said, oh, she just had, yeah, she had her kid kept her up all night. I'm like, dude, I've stayed up all night and you don't drift in and out of consciousness.
So all she needs, like all she needs, if this wasn't intervention and she has a drug problem, all she needs is to lose her job, Nick. And you intentionally tried to get her fired? You tried to get the lady fired? Yeah.
I didn't try to get her fired. Just try to get her help.
No. Yeah, it's crazy. Like the service industry, sometimes like stuff happens and you're like, my goodness, like how is this even possible?
Yeah.
Just doesn't make sense.
But that's where, yeah, you just get self-conscious about the weirdest things. Or you just don't want to give feedback. I mean, you probably have like athletic massages, right? Where they're digging in and it hurts. Phew. So you're telling them. But as an average person that doesn't really get massages, it's like, they're like, you know, there was a guy the other day. So when you go to the chiropractor, they give you a massage for it. And he's like, basically felt like if you just were to barely tap your fingers on the table, that's what he's doing in the middle of my back. And I'm like, the fuck is the point of this? Like, and all you're doing is lying face down thinking, come on, chiropractor. Get in here. And he's like, hey, let me know if you want me to do any, if it's too hard or too soft, you want me to do anything else? It's like, no, it's good. It's perfect.
Why would you say it's perfect though? It's impossible.
Because I'm thinking if you're that far off from understanding what you should be doing, I'm not going to go and guide you to like anything good. I'd rather just lie here, pretend it's not happening and get this over with.
So in the Swinburne compound, you have to have, first, you have to get past the security dogs on the street.
Yep.
You gotta get past the moat. Then there's a gate. And once you get to the gate, you have to call to the house. After you buzz us in from the inside. There's another gate that you need a code to enter. My nephew Justin, young man sitting right here to my right, went out to grab water. For the last 30 minutes, he has been sitting by the door trying to re-enter the Swinburne compound.
He's got to stand up to get
Justin.
To the mic. Yeah, you gotta get.
I mean, what happened?
Oh, you got to talk.
You got to talk into the mic. What happened, young man? Why didn't you call me? What was going on?
I couldn't find my phone.
He couldn't find it.
No.
So what? Is this not the most locked down place you've ever visited?
Yeah.
Have you found your phone yet?
No, not yet. No.
It's in Nick's couch, probably. Nick's couch and house eats everything.
This isn't on video, but as he's saying he can't find his phone, he's repeatedly checking.
He's checking
front pockets,
like, because he's like, it has to be there somewhere. But where could your phone be, Justin?
Either in the couch or in the truck.
So this is my nephew Justin. Love him to death. So he wears glasses. Loves basketball. Yesterday he had his first fight in MMA sparring competition. I was extremely proud of him. He did great. He's made a lot of strides as he's moved here. But we play basketball, and he has this new nickname. You want to tell him what your nickname is? Please?
Blurry.
It's called Blurry. So, because we're out in my neighborhood, right? And we managed to take two basketball courts and make a full-size, full court. Me, Justin, my cousin, a whole bunch of kids from the neighborhood. So we're playing a game to 16. Justin has led the team to the brink of a championship in the mold of the Warriors last year. I mean, they're on the cusp. Like, it's at the fingertips. And would you care to share the story as to how you got your nickname?
I was ball hawking.
You were what?
I was keeping the ball most of the game.
He was ball hogging. So they need 1 point to win the game. And he's shooting. And he's shooting and he's rebounding. He's a beast.
You're on his team too?
No, I'm on the opposite team. Okay. So he's a beast. I mean, he's Steph Curry on offense and Draymond Green on the boards. So he takes three possessions and misses every single shot. So they started calling him Chef. You know, they call him Steph Curry, Chef Curry. But because of his glasses, they call him Blurry. So we call him Chef Blurry all the time because Blurry can't shoot the ball online. He just kept missing, but he kept shooting. Why?
I mean, nobody else was scoring.
Nobody else was scoring. And this is our conversation, dude. He's the greatest. Hopefully we have him as a recurring guest on our show because his stories are fantastic. That's how he got his nickname, Chef Blurry.
Chef Blurry, that is a good nickname.
So the chef just stood at the gate the whole time trying to get back into the Swinburne compound. It didn't happen. Are you happy to be back inside?
Yeah.
So
still doesn't know where the phone is.
Still can't find his phone. Dennis, what do you think of him?
Big guy.
Yeah, he's down to 199 pounds. When he got here, he was 228, so he's lost some weight. So,
anyone else notice that when DC gave examples of it was Curry and Draymond, I didn't hear any mention of the Rockets.
Listen.
Because I think, like, off the top of your head, you just don't think of players on the Rockets.
The point was that he brought him to the verge, on the verge of a championship, a neighborhood championship.
Neighborhood super team.
And blew it. You know, it's just like the Warriors did last year. And I don't hate the Warriors. See, the problem is, like, I am almost in a situation where I hate the Warriors solely because I am against Nick. Like, I don't like the Warriors. It's because I can't root for the same team as him.
Quickly.
Because he will not root for the Rockets.
Dennis, that's another point for me.
Root for the Rockets, Nick.
I'll root for Olajuwon.
He retired in the 90s. I mean, he'd been done for years. It's like, because I can't do it. You root for the Saints?
No, I like Harden. The Saints, I was rooting for the Saints when they won the Super Bowl.
Because of Katrina.
And someone different to win. I like shitty teams. I think it's more fun to root for. Like, it's harder to root for a team when they're good, I think.
The Patriots?
Oh, I can't stand the Patriots.
Hate them.
Yeah.
More than the Falcons?
Patriots, Red Sox, all that. I don't hate the Falcons.
I hate the Falcons.
I wanted the Falcons to win.
I was so happy when they lost.
I fucked it up. I bet on the Falcons. And then I was like, you know, you don't talk about your bets until you win your bets. Well, I couldn't help a little humble bragging halfway through the game. So I started, hey, check this out. And then buddy Remy sent me a text back saying, wow, you're a genius or something. Because I think I had the Falcons and I took extra points. So the Falcons had to win by more. And as soon as I got the text back from him, I was like, done. Like, we just ruined
this. You jinxed us.
Yeah, got no shot.
I was, when the Falcons lost, Deuce McAllister sends out this tweet saying, now all is well in New Orleans and in the Saints world. So I go, you know what, Deuce? Anybody but them. And he's like, DC, you are right. He's like, so now we can all go back to living our lives. So the whole time, me and Deuce McAllister are just hating on the Atlanta Falcons. Anybody but them. For Saints fans. Anybody but them. And we're good to go. It cannot be the Falcons.
Yeah, I'll take anyone except the Broncos. The Broncos or the Patriots.
Because you're a Raiders guy.
Yeah, but the Patriots is just... Well, the Patriots is because of the fumble back then. I still remember that. It was so ridiculous. When the Brady fumbled, but they said he didn't fumble. So they kicked a field goal to beat the Raiders. I remember we went to a sports bar in San Francisco, Green Sports Bar. I had a bunch of friends, and they went to high school with Tom Brady. So they were... to me, it felt like, hey, I'm a Raider fan. You should have more sympathy towards me than jubilation about your buddy you went to high school with who you haven't seen in X amount of years. I was so pissed. I still remember I took my gum out and I stuck it right on the middle of the big screen TV in the sports bar. And it was one of those projection ones, you know, where the screen's not like super smooth. So it wasn't going to come off perfectly clean.
Hey, fun fact. Sean Shelby, UFC matchmaker, Tom Brady's cousin. Like, close cousin. So you got Tom Brady, 6'5". Sean's like 5'5". 5'5", and works for the UFC. Tom Brady's married to Gisele Bündchen. Talk about family reunions, huh? Like, Sean's probably like, I hate this guy. I've hated this guy since we were kids. And now I hate him even more. It's like, can you believe me? Like, I'd be like, God, I cannot stand this dude. But it's always easier to hate than actually be like, man, this dude is just having a great life.
That's like Shaq and JaVale McGee.
Okay. So on the Shaq and JaVale McGee thing, all right, I tend to side with Shaq. I don't know maybe why. Maybe it's because of the analyst side. You know, I do the same type of job as Shaq. So you're making TV, you know, and you can only talk about things that have been done. Everything that Shaq makes fun of JaVale for, JaVale has done. So when he's making all these Shaq and the Fool videos, it's like he's not replaying the same thing over and over again. It's multiple things that JaVale McGee has done. And
so let's recap it. So there's Shaq and the Fool. JaVale McGee's been kind of a mainstay on there.
He's the MVP.
But but a lot of it's from the past, right? So he's kind of, you know, he's turning his people's impression around him this year on the Warriors. Been a model teammate, been a good guy, get some dunks. Still, every once in a while, we'll have a, you know, kind of a blunder play. But Shaq keeps ripping on him. So McGee woke up and said, I don't have all the something about, man, this guy, you know, you got anyone else think this is odd? I'm the first thing this guy thinks about when he wakes up. I don't know the chain of events here, but if you look at the tweets, Shaq says, now since you want a good team, this is on Twitter.
And that's the key here. That's the key to, now, and I'll let you finish, but that's the key to JaVale's resurgence, if we want to call it. That doesn't mean, I mean, yeah, but I agree with Shaq. Go ahead, finish.
Now since you're on a good team, you want to act like you a player. Now stop it. You will only be remembered for Shaq in a fool, hashtag bum ass. And then JaVale says, forget being on a good team. I'm a grown man. You've had these nuts in your mouth for 5 to 6 years now. You thought I was just going to stay silent. Shaq says, don't be acting like you a G. I'll smack the shit out of your bum ass. You the one that be looking stupid with your dumb ass. Hashtag bum
Are
ass.
You reading this word for word?
Yep. And even with the spelling. So then JaVale says, oh, we threatening people now. Kick rocks, you old bastard. You ain't going to do shit. And that's on my mama. Stick to cooning.
What?
Yeah.
That's what JaVale told Shaq?
Yeah.
Huh. I'll be interested to see when those guys actually come face to face with each other. Who's going to do something? Now, the Diesel is from Louisiana. You know that. So just that makes him a pretty dangerous guy. He grew up there. His dad was in the military in Louisiana. So the Diesel, you can check the facts because I think Nick was about to agree.
I think he's from Texas.
He's from Texas, but he grew up in Louisiana.
So DC said he's from Louisiana.
I said from Louisiana.
Give me a half point, Dennis. Give me a half point for that one.
Meaning that he grew up there. So if the majority of his years were spent in the Bayou, let's say he's from Louisiana. But back to the point, Nick, I agree with Shaq to a degree because I believe that because of the team that JaVale's on, I feel like they hide him. He don't have to do much. He does not have to do much now. When the job was a little bit bigger and your blunders weren't so easily hidden by all this phenomenal play of a fantasy basketball team, you saw it more.
But Durant had a good point. Durant piped in and said,
but that's another thing. His teammates are running to defend him, so that does show that JaVale has made some changes, right?
Yeah, his teammates seem to be unanimously saying he's a good guy. He's turned around. I think the reason it's like a flashpoint for them all is more, you got a guy who was basically out of the league. He came back on a minimum deal or whatever he's on.
Yeah.
And this is for him as a person, this is a huge year, right? Like if he, whether it's with the Warriors or someone else, if he says, hey, all these perceptions, like Steve Kerr said, you know, this stuff does affect things. Like when JaVale came in here, I had a perception of him largely based on Shaq and a fool. And it's not, you know, and he's a totally different guy. So I think they're looking out for him for after this year, we want to put him in the best position to succeed for himself personally and financially to get money, right? And so they think they're looking at it like Shaq, like, well, one, Kevin Durant was like, who, you know, Shaq was a great player, but he can't make a shot outside the paint. He airballs free throws. He's done dumb things too. But I think they're looking at it like, hey, it's like a fraternity of basketball players. Like we should look out for each other. You're a center and you're hurt. You're too hard on this one guy. So you can't just take it. No, he can't take it, but Shaq's the one who's pushing it. Right. So if you were to do that to a fighter, right. And you use your forum on Fox and said, I'm just going to rail on this guy. And like, hey, that guy hasn't fought in 3 months. I don't care. I just kept going on and on about him. It's like, hey, what did you think about the Khabib Ferguson fight? Oh, this other guy's an idiot. And everyone would be like, dude, what does that have to do with anything? Then wouldn't you feel like you were kind of like
bullying him
or like, isn't there some code where you're supposed to kind of like not
lay
you
know, off,
help out your coworkers?
So here's my question, Nick, when you watch Shaq and the Fool, and you see JaVale McGee, and JaVale's like, do you remember when the dude, John Wall, looks at him like JaVale? Yeah. JaVale's like going back in the opposite direction. They got the rebound. John Wall's like, where are you going?
Yeah.
What's your initial reaction when you see that?
It's funny.
It's funny. And that's what Shaq is going for.
Yeah.
But he's going for funny. And I don't think he's doing it with malicious intent. I don't believe that he's trying to harm and ruin JaVale McGee.
Yeah.
Now, for Steve Kerr to say it precedes him when he comes onto a team, and that's not the case. Shaq never said JaVale McGee's he's stupid. Shaq never said JaVale McGee is an idiot. He just said he makes bonehead plays occasionally. So I get where he's coming from, man. He's on TV every week, 2-3 hours. I mean,
yeah,
JaVale's giving him the material.
Yeah, I mean, there was a game I remember McGee tried to inbounds the ball for the other team this year. But he laughed and like waved to the crowd the whole way down the court, and everyone was laughing. So I think he appears to have like a sense of humor about himself. Just for whatever reason, it got personal. And I think it was just more the escalated with the replies when he said, "Stop talking about me," and then Shaq, you know, saying, "You know, you're bum ass.
You're a bum.
And, you know, you don't want any of this." And blah, blah, blah.
They want to fight.
Yeah,
but it's like he does have a sense of humor. I think maybe he's kind of thinking it's been going on.
Yeah, it's too much,
too long. But again, you know, you give the material, fair game. Agree or no?
I agree. I mean, it sounds like he's just trying to be funny.
Yeah. No, it sounded like it was funny. Everyone thought it was funny. But his response was inappropriate. Agree on that as an analyst, as a commentator, right?
I do believe that he can respond. But in the vein of this podcast...
Is that why you raised your hand? You thought you got a point right there?
I do. I do. Because as we move forward, my argument's a little stronger, Dennis.
Yes,
I
the finger up.
For the first time, I'm gonna go ahead and agree with my point loss.
Yeah, I agree.
I was making it, I was thinking this is like being a public defender, like defending a murderer. Like,
right?
I'm not all in on my argument. The more I talk, like I would tell JaVale, like you need a new attorney.
Like exactly. Like
I'm
come
not,
on, I
I'm
can't
not doing justice here.
So I'm throwing my finger up with that one. I look like James Harden running the point for the Houston Rockets. You know that's what he's doing now. I'm leading the NBA in assists.
Yeah, so. He's like, there's only one person's going to shoot.
We brought it
to Blurry's got that. That's how you, yeah, you got that one.
He's like Blurry, the chef. The chef is just like James Harden.
Blurry's trying to figure out, like, so how long do I have to stand up for?
He's like do I stand? Do I sit? Look.
So his microphone is a standing microphone, and he's been standing up the whole time trying to figure out when he can go back to sitting down.
Do you want
to
say something? I mean, what are you standing there just...
I mean, you asked me to stand up to answer a question, so I might as well stay standing just in case.
This is a pattern with you. What happened with didn't you have an interview the other day where you made a Rumble stand up the whole time?
I did. Yes, I did make Rumble stand up.
How did that go?
Well, they only had one chair. Hmm. So I jumped in and said champion gets to choose. And he doesn't care. You know, Rumble's a good guy. He has he's got a good sense of humor. He's funny and he kind of played along with it, you know. It's one of those situations where I'm not like Rumble and I aren't like terrible enemies, you know? Like, we're not like, I can't stand this dude. I hate him, you know? So it makes doing the media and everything else a little more, a little easier to do than, you know, when I do it with Jones or...
So what's the switch when you don't like someone? How do you get in there and is it just literally, you know, you always hear
can't
people
be around
say, them. Oh, it's a sport. I look at it as a sport, but there's got to, you sit there and you say, hey, this guy's trying to knock my head off, so that makes you mad? Or how do you get into the point of like wanting to hurt him?
Oh, I'm just trying to fight, man. I'm trying to, win, like, which is something that you, knowing me, you know I'm ultra competitive. I want to win. That's why I wore that outfit to the Saints game. You remember, some lady walked up to me and goes, I don't know who dressed you this morning, but they sure as shit fucked up. Maybe a Nick Walker right on my shorts over my jeans. It was a nightmare. But
wait, why'd you wear your shorts over your jeans?
Because they were black. It
had the Saints logo on it. I had my Saints Super Bowl t-shirt, so that had to be around 2009, you know. I had my Saints hat. I needed to have as much Saints gear on as I could find. So because I don't have pants with the Saints stuff on it, I put the shorts over the pants. And then I wore like black and gold shoes. It was crazy. We like tailgated and everything. But yeah, it's
So number one is you want to win.
I do. I want to win.
And so if you're playing basketball, that as a non-fighter, if you're playing basketball, that seems fine. Like, I want to win. I'm going to try everything. Worst case scenario, I'm going to get really tired and lose.
Yeah.
But now you're fighting someone who you don't dislike, who you don't really want to do any harm to, because you probably like him. He's probably a nice guy.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
But Nick.
So where's the switch?
Is he going to try to hurt me? Yeah.
So if you fought a guy you knew was not going to try to hurt you, then you would... Would you still try to hurt him?
Yes, I probably would. Yeah. I mean, it seems like the circumstance to hurt somebody is there. You know what I mean? You could sit, Blur. I mean, we're starting to feel a little uncomfortable with you just standing there. You're an intimidating guy. But either he's going to hurt me or I'm going to hurt him. You know, one or the other. Like, somebody's going, we're going in there to fight. So whether it be for sport or for rivalry, you still got to get the job done. So I have no problem going in there and really beating some guy up.
So when Khabib's on top of Michael Johnson and he's yelling at him, like, you need to stop.
Yeah.
I don't want to keep smashing your face in. Is it just, that was a great thing to do as far as like, oh shit, he's telling him he doesn't want, or is he literally going, hey, I'm starting to feel bad for you, dude. I don't want to keep punching you.
Khabib Nurmagomedov is an interesting character. You know, like, I mean, you know it because you sponsored him for a long time, but he's interesting in the sense that because of his accent, because of where he's from, because of everything else, his words come out, and because of the language barrier, he can't just go, you know, whisper, Michael, you're not going to win this fight. You know, guys talk in the octagon. It's like, you're just getting beat up. Why not? You know, it's over.
How often does that happen?
I mean,
it was Koscheck with was that with Rumble? That was a famous one because the camera was on him, right? And he was talking in his ear.
In his ear, talking to him.
So what, up against the fence, you guys are telling each other like, oh, yeah.
No, like, it's not all the time. You know, when you're at the highest level a lot of times, but it was clear. Khabib was really outclassing him. And he was getting hit with some big shots. Referee wasn't stopping the fight. But because of the language and the accent, it comes out like just this assassin. Like, you must stop. This is not going to end well for you. I must fight for the title. You know, he's an interesting guy, man. And I love it. I love his intensity. I love his toughness. I love his desire to be the best, you know. So, yeah, it was interesting, man. Khabib doesn't dislike Michael Johnson, though. Now he dislikes Tony Ferguson, which is going to make it even better. You know, I think...
he just dislikes him because he just... Talk shit about him.
Talk shit about Khabib, which is a great TV term. Segue into what we should discuss next, UFC 209, next weekend from the T-Mobile Arena, the rematch, Tyron Woodley versus Stephen Wonderboy Thompson II for the welterweight title, and also Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Tony Ferguson for the interim lightweight title. Now, before we go into the fight card itself, I know how I feel about it as a guy on the inside. I got a question for you in terms of a guy that's, you know, you're on the inside. You've sponsored guys for a real long time, but your interest now has kind of gone in opposite directions. Like I said, the restaurant and everything else. The interim title tag. How do you feel about that, considering before there were not many interim UFC champions? You know, I'm going to pop up on here real quick to get a direct number. But you go to...
What's that noise?
That's my finger. Okay. That's my fingers. I'm typing now. But you go now, and just in the last couple years, you've had Conor McGregor win an interim title. John Jones win an interim title. Max Holloway now has an interim title. Khabib and Tony are fighting for an interim title. What do you think of the influx of interim championships, especially late?
You know, I think when they first announced them, you just kind of like, eh. But then, I think it depends on the reasoning. If a guy's hurt, and it's just like he's hurt, and he's going to take a little bit of time to recover, but there's nothing else, then it seems excessive sometimes. Like, you know, like, but you don't know, as on the outsider, you don't know, like, is he really hurt? Is he just pulling out of these fights? Like featherweight, for example, you're like, the hunch is Conor's never going to fight at featherweight ever again, right? He would probably have the weight cut's not going to be great. He's got nothing to gain. It seems like his plan is not like, I want to clear out divisions and be the best. It's just, I want to rocket ship to as much as I can and then get out of here. So in that one, it's almost like over time, it starts to build up and you start to think, okay, like slowly, you have to have an interim champion because
nobody's
never
going to
be
title.
A champion.
But think about it, though.
But he should fight at one, like the 155. They don't really need an interim title unless it's like politics of more. Hey, we're gonna, you know, you've said you want this, and that's not gonna happen. So we're just gonna it's going to take time, but we're going to move on without you, established champion, have video and have history of a guy holding a belt. We can do our own PR monster and show that the belt's here.
I think that is what people have a problem with, because a lot of people feel like it's a marketing ploy. Like, they feel as though you are more, there's a better opportunity for you to watch if a belt is on the line than if it's just two guys fighting.
Yeah, I think if a fan is, if it was just called number one contender interim title, it doesn't really matter. The only thing it does is, like, if I would say from the fighter's perspective, if you win the number one contender fight, it doesn't really seem to mean anything. You could be the number one contender who gets the next fight, or you could be the number one contender and then because of popularity or whatever reasons, timing, you could just not get the next fight. So at least if I was a fighter and I knew I'm getting that interim title instead of just becoming the number one contender, the odds of me getting skipped in the future go away, right? Like, whoever wins this belt is going to fight a big fight next.
Whereas, Connor, right?
In theory, if he fights.
If he fights.
Or, but if they just was a number one contender fight, then there would be Connor could come back and be like, oh, I'm going to fight, you know, who would be better suited to me or who would be whatever. And there wouldn't be like this weird belt out there. So I feel like for these two guys in this fight, it's a good asset for whoever wins, because it's going to kind of force the hand with Connor of like, hey, if you're going to come back, you need to fight the interim champion. You can't pick someone else instead of me. But as a fan, I don't think it really gives a, I mean, who cares?
You know, so you look at the interim titles, right? And 2008, I think, Big Nog won the interim title. And then...
against who?
I think he beat Frank Mir, maybe. I'm not exactly sure. He beat Tim Sylvia, right? So he was the interim champion around 2008, UFC 81. All right? So then you move forward, and you got Shane Carwin, who was also the UFC interim champion. This was when Brock was dealing with the diverticulitis, right? So,
oh, that one was crazy, because he had like 9 out of 10 times that fight gets stopped where Carwin was pummeling Lesnar.
Exactly. But again, so at that point, Shane Carwin at UFC 111, UFC 81, UFC 111, he beat Frank Mir for the interim title. Then Brock Lesnar beat him to unify the championships. This was 81-111. Now, before then, Nick, I don't recall many interim championships. But move forward. Now, one was very justified. The Verdum interim title when Kane was hurt for 2 years. I get it. Very justified. And McGregor...
Was the Cruz one interim title? Or they just
No,
said?
Because they had to take his belt because he was hurt all the time. So it was just... It was the real belt. McGregor had an interim title, right? That's whenever Aldo kept pulling out of those fights.
Yeah.
Holloway now has an interim title because Aldo won the interim title over Frankie Edgar. But then when Connor won the 155-pound division, they made Aldo the full-on champion.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
And then, I was trying to figure out. So now his interim title is not
so you have two,
interim anymore.
You have two interim guys, basically. They're going to fight each other.
They're going to fight each other for the unified. But Aldo's the full-on champion now. And then now you got last year when Jones came back and I pulled out of the fight, he won an interim title. When I wasn't able to fight in December, they were going to do Rumble versus Musasi for an interim title. So
has anyone ever won an interim title and then won the regular title?
Yes, they have. Verdum did. He beat Kane. That's right. So for me, I think... I liked the one with Jones and I because of his dominance over the division for so long. It was better. But some of these interim titles, I don't agree with.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that we can't even explain the Holloway-Aldo one was... I couldn't remember what happened. I was like, wait, they both have the... Yeah, I think... I don't know. The whole way it's gone now is
promotion.
Yeah, I think it'd be a crazy career to get into because you have literally no control of... it's hard to figure out what the criteria is. They could just lose interest in a whole division all at once. Like, it just, it's all over the place.
Connor, so what's scary is, like, for Team Nurmagomedov, is that Connor really does have this ability to almost decide what he wants to do. If Connor comes back and says, I'm going to fight Nate Diaz again for the third time, and he's going to get a title fight at 155, what do you do? I think you jump.
Yeah, so even in this case, the interim champion could still get jumped.
Then what do you have, though? Do you have Khabib or Tony defending an interim title while Connor and Nate fight for the undisputed title? I don't get it, because as a promotion, Nick, I'm doing it. I'm going, okay, those guys want to fight. They're going to make a ton of money. You have to do it. But yeah. Is it fair? No. Dennis, I mean,
have you noticed a change with the UFC in terms of ranking with the WME purchase?
I don't think we've noticed a change. I don't think there's a change. I just think that the whole game has changed since I got into it. It's like a way different world than it was when I first started back in 2009.
It's going the way of boxing, kinda, right? In that it's not as good at developing up and coming guys. It's just tapping, you know, latching onto a few guys. I'm for anything that's good for Nate Diaz. Like, so, like, I would hate to see Khabib or Ferguson not get the next title shot.
They're deserving. Very.
But I think, I mean, Nate's just one of those guys where you just want good things to happen to him. So if he gets a big payday and he gets it, I mean, and like, it's almost like the way the whole Connor Nate fights has been edited, where like, it's almost like, and he knew it probably going into the second one, they're going to make it like the first one never happened. It's like the Warriors and the Cavaliers, right? Like, it's almost like Cleveland fans forgot that the Warriors beat them to win the championship the year before. And all that mattered was this 3-1 comeback. And it's like, that's kind of like, and I think that would be a weird thing for me to see if I was in it. Like, in a way, it's great, right? What's interesting about the Diaz brothers is like, they just stayed the same the whole time and somehow ended up dramatically increasing their value by doing nothing different.
Nothing different.
But at the same time, it'd be just disheartening to kind of like, I mean, for different reasons, but like Woodley says, it'd just be disheartening to see like the promotion favoring someone else, whether it's through promotion or clearly wanting them to win. And it sounds like, you know, as a fighter, you'd say, hey, I can understand why fans would want to see X, Y, or Z happen.
Yeah.
And that may not be in my best interest. I can understand it, but it still would suck if you were the fighter that was like, so for me, I think like you kind of want like chaos, and the most chaos would be
Diaz McGregor.
And then Diaz, just if Diaz won and just being like, I mean, imagine if Diaz was in charge.
It would be terrible. I mean, I love Nate, but it would be hard. What would you do?
It'd be awesome. Just to have Nate to be like, fuck you guys. Like, I've been telling you the whole time, I'll control this thing and I'll fight whoever I fight. But I do think he would probably fight. Like, I would say if Nate was champion, there's a better chance of him saying, yeah, Khabib, Ferguson, whoever, just pay me this much and I'll fight. Whereas with Conor, I would think it would be more either some outlandish demand that he knew wasn't possible, or hey, I'm champion, I'm not fighting that guy, you know, or
yeah,
but I'll fight this other guy. So I would think that Conor would freeze out either one of those potentially more than Nate.
Crazy thing is, like, you guys, Dethrone, has sponsored Conor, Khabib, you sponsored Nate, because I remember we did the signing at the Warriors game.
Yeah.
So all these relationships, did you build them with all these guys, or were the guys at AKA the only ones that you really built the relationships with?
No, I mean, really the early guys. So mostly you guys.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Nate, Gilbert.
Yeah.
You know, in the beginning we had Nate, Gilbert, Jake, Nick too. You know, I mean, Nick, I don't know. I think Nate and Gilbert are the ones we got a relationship with. I mean, they're easier to, great guys that are easy to talk to, right? And then, you know, Nick's a little harder. I mean, it's hard to, I remember going to Whole Foods with him once and asking him a question and just being like, you don't understand shit. I was like, huh, all right, well, fuck it. No more questions for you. Actually, we took him to a show. We did a show, actually it was back in the Stagger days. And we had, it might have been Nick and Jake maybe, I don't know, but we had him at a show and we were staying at the Hard Rock in San Diego. And at the time, I thought, well, for whatever the image was, he doesn't drink. He's not really into drinking. Like, he's you know, stoner, but he doesn't really drink. So the, back then we used to just get wasted, right? And so I was on this like, oh, I don't want, let's not go out for beers with him. We don't want him to think like that we're just these raging drunks and blah, 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 blah. And so we just didn't really do anything. And he'd be like, eventually was like, you guys, I mean, go to the bar or anything? And we're like, no, we don't, like acting like, no, we don't go to the bar. So I think he went out by himself and had a great old time. And it was like, wait, he does drink and everything? Like, man, we could have had a great time, but
yeah,
but we didn't. But yeah, no, I think, I mean, it's not the early days. I mean, like with you and Kane and Koshek and, you know, Thompson and Luke and
yeah,
everyone was, those were the best days. I mean, that for me, that was the most fun.
Yeah.
And it felt like we had, I mean, you know, Ben Henderson, we had a great relationship with, like, we sponsored Aldo for a long time. Like in the beginning, we had like a great group of guys and it was awesome to watch everyone, you know, I can't think of the word, like, you know, accomplish all these things.
Yeah.
And the best thing is the guy's the same. You're exactly the same as you were that first day we met.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, think, maybe Connor's not the same as he was before. I haven't really, you know, there were certain guys like, and this wasn't just Connor. There's a lot of guys where you'd sponsor him. You'd say, hey, what's up? They do the bare minimum they had to do. And then when you parted ways and you went separate ways, you know? And Connor was a little different. Connor was, when we were sponsoring him, it was great. Which went, you know, went to games, even went to Mexico with us. But you know, to Connor's eyes, it's like, when you're done, you know? And when, if you're not paying me, you're not seeing me. So that kind of thing. But it's amazing what he's done too. I remember him telling me these things he was going to do and just being like, come on. And then
but the thing was he wasn't afraid to make a fool of himself.
Yeah.
He said all these outlandish things and he could have looked like the biggest fool in mixed martial arts history, and he didn't, because he actually accomplished them. So
the
I
most
give
impressive
him a lot of
thing was how he bounced back from losing to Nate.
Yeah.
Like that was the moment where it was like, oh man, everyone was like, oh, you got this ego that might have this unmatched ego, right? And is he going to be able to handle
a loss?
And he didn't really come across with any like excuses. Just, I mean, he, you know, all of a sudden Nate was, you know, 8 feet tall and like, weighed 300 pounds. But like, other than that, he was just like, yeah, I'm going to go come back and start training and fight again. So I think the second fight, regardless of what you think of, you know, he put a video out yesterday that was just all slow motion of him getting into a private jet and sitting in the hood of a car. And you get all the comments going like, dude, you rented a jet to go from Vegas to LA and you rented a car. Like, you know, whether that, he's taking the Mayweather playbook right on that. And I think that's the thing about him. He's really, I believe he sits there, studies like, what's the best way for me to advance my career step by step?
Yeah.
Which is smart.
He's smart.
But how he, you know, the heart he showed in that fight, whether you think Nate won or Connor won, like the heart he showed was, you can't, it's not just like all flash. There's substance there.
There's some substance there, because he also came back with a game plan. Knew that Nate doesn't really check kicks, so he kicked a lot. Changed that up completely. He knew that he had to kind of pace himself a little bit better than he did the first time. So you saw him actually not as overzealous with his punches. Wasn't throwing as hard every single shot. So, yeah, there's a lot of substance to Conor McGregor. People, you don't do what he's done without being a fantastic fighter, too. Yeah. Look, this is great. We've been going for about an hour and five minutes. So,
Hold on. I think it's an hour, 1 hour, 7 minutes, 30 seconds. Dennis, do you want to...
1 hour, 7 minutes, do the judge 30 seconds.
Double some points out? He said 105. I said 107.30.
107 on the dot.
All right. So we even now?
Yes. It's tied.
Or 2-2 right. at the midway point.
What are your picks then? Who you got this
That's
weekend?
What we
got
to do. We got to get to UFC 209. Main card. We have to pick them. We have to pick the fights.
All the way through. Let's
just see. Through the top five. And then, Dennis, that's going to go on the board. And we're going to do picks to end the shows. You know, people are excited about UFC 209. It's going to be a great fight card. Tyron Woodley, Stephen Thompson, number two.
Should have been stocked.
Let's start at heavyweight. Nick Overeem or Mark Hunt? Let me put, I'm going to write them down here, you and mine. DC. Let's go Nikki Baby over here. Nikki Baby, I'm going to let you go first. You got Hunt or Overeem?
I got to go with Hunt. You got to go with, I want chaos. I want the post-fight interview about steroids and give me everyone's money and all that.
You know what? I'm going to agree. I'm taking Mark Hunt in that fight. Now, I don't anticipate you would know who Lando Venata and David Taymor is.
Nope, just read my mind.
Now, Lando Venata is actually a guy that fought Tony Ferguson, I think, last time. And really, no, he lost to Tony Ferguson, but just beat John McDessie. But had Tony Ferguson hurt really bad in the very first round of the fight, but Tony actually recovered and came back and won the fight. His opponent, David, you want to say that, Nick?
Taymor.
Taymor trains at All Stars Training Center in Stockholm. Last fight he fought against, he beat Jason Novelli at UFC Fight Night 92. So, what do you got?
I've got David, based on a higher significant strike accuracy percentage,
right,
and he absorbs way less. Like at, he only absorbs 1.63. This is just off the top of my head. Let me see if it was 1.6.
This guy is on the UFC's website
versus Lando absorbs 8.5 punches a minute.
He's a face first fighter. So here's our first disagreement. I'm taking Lando Venata. I think Lando
gets
the
job. His takedown accuracy is zero. His takedown defended is zero.
If I can't outpick Nick Swinmurn,
does that mean no one's ever tried to take him down? I'm in a lot of trouble. Is that what that means?
Well,
takedown defended zero. Takedown accuracy zero. He's never tried to take
someone
down.
He's never tried to. Well, in the UFC. In the UFC. Okay. He's been involved in stand-up fights. Now, here we go. These are the guys that you will know. Rashad Evans versus Daniel Kelly. Rashad Evans is Rashad Evans. I know you know who he is. Daniel Kelly is a judoka, a guy from Australia.
He's a tough guy.
Tough guy. Good fighter. This is a guy that before, you know, Rashad Evans would generally have his way with a guy like that. But this is a guy that was on 4 Olympic teams for Australia. 2000 all the way to 2012 judoka.
12-1.
Against Rashad. Who you got?
Every time I think Rashad Evans, I just think of him having Forrest Griffin against the cage. That was like...
That's
Rashad,
the beauty.
That's Rashad Evans. I don't even know what happened. I don't remember what's happened since then. Which is what lures you into these picks. I'm going back to my absorbed per minute. I didn't even know what that meant when I first looked at it. I'm going with Rashad. I hope he's healthy. I hope he... hope it's not just... getting back in there to eventually get back in there.
I'm taking Rashad too. I'm going to take Rashad. I think he gets it done. Again, these are the types of fights you have to win. If you don't win this one,
yeah,
it's pretty much time to head to the door. So we're both taking Evans. Now we get into the meat and potatoes of the fight card. Nurmagomedov versus Ferguson. Now, Khabib is Khabib. You know him well.
Can we afford to get unfollowed at this point? I saw you unfollowed Robin Black yesterday for his fight breakdown, which was weird because the fight breakdown basically said he's a monster and he didn't pick anyone.
So why did he unfollow him?
I don't know. Maybe because he was going into the super specifics of how he does things.
Maybe. Khabib is who he is. Now, Tony Ferguson is going to be the toughest guy that he's fought because he's so tough. He's tough as nails. Very well-rounded.
Best nickname.
El Kekui. Very well-rounded, just great cardio, really coming into his own, 9 wins in a row. Obviously, I'm taking Nurmagomedov, but what's your call?
Yeah, I like Ferguson. He's another guy. You'd like to see, you know, guys that have worked this hard and gotten this high. You don't want to see either of them not make it to the next step. But I don't think you can get bet against Khabib. There's one fight Khabib had where he... came out, I think, and decided he wanted to box. And he just threw, hands down, chin out, uppercuts. Short uppercuts the whole fight. And we were watching it going, what is he doing? And he won, but he squeaked by in that one.
You're talking about Gleison Tibau.
I think it must have been. It was just, yeah. It was really weird. I think I might even have watched it with Bob, if Bob wasn't there. And I was like, what in the world is going on? And he, but I think as long as he doesn't do that, as long as he just sticks to what he does, and I would like to, I mean, obviously, you know, I want to see him get to the top, so pick that one.
All right,
what have we disagreed on? Just one.
We disagreed so far just on Taymor Venata,
so that's the most important fight in the card now.
Yeah, it at this point, unless this last fight is picked different. Woodley, Stephen Thompson. The Wonder Boy has looked phenomenal at times. When he beat Rory McDonald, I thought nobody could beat him. But I believe that Tyron Woodley, if he was to lose to him, it would have been the first time. Because he had never seen anybody like him. After being in there for 25 minutes with him, I believe he can make the correct adjustments and actually beat him in the second go round a lot better than he did the first time. So I'm taking Woodley to retain.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be fun to be controversial, but I want Woodley to win. He's another guy. I only met him. I met him once at your after party where you had the. What was the fight? I think it was when you fought in San Jose.
Oh, Josh Barnett or Frank Mir?
You kept picking Josh Barnett up and dumping him down. But I met him with that one, and I said, "Hey, what's up? Maybe we can sponsor you one day." And he was like, "The fuck is this guy? Like, get great, you know, get out of here." But for some reason, that was endearing.
He's a gentleman.
Yeah. But no, he's a good guy, and I think you know, he doesn't get as much credit as he should get. So I want him to win. I watched the first fight. I thought he won.
I thought he won too.
I didn't understand what all the controversy was. I think I maybe went back and watched it again and thought, I guess. But I think, yeah, I don't. I mean, unless he just decides to stand against the cage and just see like what can I absorb.
He does that at times. He goes, puts his back against the fence. He did that a little bit in that fight, so I can see it. But
the hardest thing when they made them, what they say, they said he won, and then they changed it to a majority.
Like when Steve Harvey did that with the Miss Universe pageant. I started to panic.
But having the camera on and just and like you almost felt like you were there watching his, because he was just sitting there going, his conspiracy theories had all come true. They are gonna fuck me right now, and this is gonna be crazy.
He was so pissed because Wonder Boy came out with the American flag. He was pissed. That bothered him.
Yeah.
So
I think, and then they said Thompson put a bunch of muscle on, so maybe his weight cut will be harder. Ultimately, I don't know. I think Woodley's more well-rounded, right?
He's got more ways to win. Yeah. So there's more things.
So we got nothing. So it's all on Vanata Taymor. It's the biggest fight.
Vanata Taymor has become the most important fight. You got Taymor. I got Vanata. So we will be watching closely at UFC 209 to see who wins week one of our picks. Look. Man, we had a lot of stuff we wanted to talk about, but
we didn't talk about any of it.
But
yeah, I was keeping track of that.
This is exactly, and we in what do we do today? How did we do in terms of arguments? How did we do in terms of points?
2-2,
yeah, 2-2. So you guys are pretty much tied. I think we're just getting our feet wet. And
yeah. Your feet got wet during this?
A little bit. Yeah. My pants got wet.
Though. Dennis, you do realize that.
Wait, Dennis wants some airtime. He was all fired up for what he was going to say. What do you got? What do you want to talk about? You said yesterday, I said, what do you want to talk about? You said they just discovered some new planets.
Oh, yeah. Just the planets.
They discovered new planets?
Uh-uh. Yeah, I did. Actually, I did. I was trying to tell my daughter the planets in the solar system, and it was something about how our whole life we thought it was 7, but now there's 10.
Well, what I read was that there's the nearest. I think the 39 light was it 39 light years away.
Wait, how many miles is 39 light years?
250 trillion.
He rattled this off yesterday. He's like 39 light years. I go, how far is that? He goes 250 trillion miles.
How's he noticed?
I'm kind of a space nerd.
And then how do they know there's a new planet?
It was just this where they base it on the planet passing in front of the sun or the actual star that they see, and then based on the colors and gas and they can actually decipher whether it's habitable. Plus telescopes and stuff. Whole other side of me that you guys don't know.
This is great. Like these people, who's, what are
these
they
levels?
All day,
to
they look
is
at
like,
these little dots and they go, "That's 4 billion miles away, and that could be inhabitable because it made the sun turn orange."
Rockhold bought some crazy telescope, and he just sits on his balcony and he looks out into space.
Oh, it's nuts! Yeah,
even space. Like, think about it, Dennis.
But he can see all the way to space.
Space. Like, think about it, Dennis. Like, why couldn't the space, outer space? Why was space the word for it? Think about that. Why was space the word for it? Do you ever think about, like, why are certain words...
I know what it stands for.
What they were.
Some people are crazy enough to believe this.
P-A-C-E. That is actually pretty
good. That's actually pretty good. Where'd you get that from?
I made it up.
No, it's like, I just don't... Sometimes I wonder that. I'm like, why are words words? Why couldn't floor... be called desk? Why couldn't this be the floor? Yeah. Why is space space?
Well, then you start thinking about how are we watching this? What do we got on TV? A soccer game in Spain? How the hell are we watching it?
No, I'm serious. Like, why?
No, I'm serious.
Dude. Why does an airplane? Why does the airplane fly?
Why doesn't it?
Why does it?
Why doesn't?
Like, what makes it do that? Like, see, what makes it actually just like stay up there?
In high school, I got out of science as soon as I could, so I didn't. I didn't take chemistry. I didn't take physics. I stopped at biology. So I never. There's probably some basic stuff I just never
don't know
understood.
But it's like, why does the plane fly, Nick? Tell me why it's able to just be up there.
I read some article the other day that said Did you read this one? The whole world is a hologram. It was like the whole world's a hologram. So like when you're looking, it's actually like I didn't. It was way over too smart for me to even figure out what they were talking about. But what I gathered from it is like we're looking straight ahead, and everything in front of us is really flat. Like we're flat.
Come on.
And like DC over there is is like the same effect as the hologram, and that's why he seems like he's far away from me.
Come on.
Yeah. And like our eyes basically see as holograms, and I was just like, what the hell?
Why would you read that?
It was on like Yahoo or something. So I was like, he's between Kardashian takes. I was
like, we should do a science episode.
We need to.
Or we just theorize on
Well, let's get whatever. Let's get Rockhold on here and talk about what he sees. It is a telescope.
We should.
He's probably got some scientific theories.
There we go. Week two. There we go. We got our first guest. Luke Rockhold will join us. But listen, man, I'm telling you, a lot of stuff I don't get. And I think maybe next time we'll talk about it a little bit more. But in terms of a first show, I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
I had fun. Yeah. See if anyone listens. I'll blast it out to my four followers and see what
happens. Floated it. We're going to throw it out on my Facebook page. Yeah. Throw it out on my stuff.
How long until we have this up? Probably a couple days?
Yeah. I guess I can call in sick. Yeah. I can get in a couple days.
How many podcasts have you recorded in the past?
So, today? One. This one.
Hey, we're starting from the ground up.
How many podcasts have you edited and posted?
None so far. So.
Wait, hold on.
Give me a couple days.
Last thing before we get off. Blurry, can you go back to your microphone?
Hey, Blurry's like knocking over.
As he stood up, like red monster cans were like falling off him. Did you you disappeared for a while? Did you go back to find your old phone or?
No, I haven't found it yet.
So what are you gonna
do?
Where'd
you go? Where'd you go?
I went to the truck. Earlier?
Yeah.
I went to the restroom.
Oh.
Have you seen my son lately?
No, but I just seen somebody right here. I think it was his son.
And also on record, Nick and I made an agreement when I first met him that when Luke, his boy, Luke, became of age, he would start wrestling. Today, he tells me his boy's 8. I'm like, Luke, we have blasted past the age to start, and now we're like falling behind. Every day he's not in the wrestling room, he is just further and further behind. So he's essentially going to give me a task that's going to be very hard to accomplish because he'll bring me Luke at 11 and go, I want my kid to win. Well, my son started at 5.
He took 2 weeks of jiu-jitsu last month. And then it was just such a pain in the ass to get him to go each time. He didn't want to go at all. But he's like, I always lose. I'm like, it's your free. You got to wait till there's a newer kid and you learn something. But eventually he wore me down with just, I don't want to feel like I don't want to go through this process of dragging him to something he doesn't want to do. I don't even know what he wants to do. Like he's only in third grade. Like, when I was in third, now there's a lot. These kids start doing a lot of stuff early.
Man, my son started wrestling at 5 years old, and he wrestles with me this summer. I've got a guy that was a 3-time NCAA champion named Alex Derringer, going to stay with me for a month to train him. Another guy named Tyler Caldwell. Between those guys, I'm trying to get him to come in for time to train him.
Just to train him?
Yeah, and I'll pay him.
Wow.
But Tyler Cole was 4-time All-American, like 3-time finalist. Derringer won like 3. So I'm asking all these guys to come up and train my boy he's good.
So if you said, Daniel, you got two choices today. I'm going to train with this All-American or you go outside and play Pokemon Go. What's he going to do?
He's Pokemon going all day. I'm like, dude, could you please grow out of this Pokemon Go?
He's 6.
He's 6. I'm like, dude, enough. Dad is like, I had a dark Charizard, and then my reactions are, oh my gosh. It's like over and over, like, come on, man, no more Pokemon. Ask Blurry. I mean, what is it, Blurry? It's bad. It's like real bad.
I never tried it.
It's real bad. My son is the Pokemon. His sister's five. And she's all, it's so annoying, Dan, with the Pokemon Go. And my Selena's all, Daniel, the Pokemon Go. But we take him. You know, he likes it, so we buy him the Pokemon cards. Him and Luke, they've been up there the whole time probably using Pokemon cards.
Oh, that or Luke's in a headlock. And he can't get out. He's trying. Yeah. All he learned was hip escape. He's just trying hip escape over and over with the wrong leg up. Yeah. So, all right, cool. That was fun. Let's do this again.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome time. Hopefully you guys listen, and we'll keep.
What are we shooting for? Every week? Every
we'll do
so
one
often?
A week. Yeah, we'll do one a week, hopefully. And we'll continue to do this and just kind of cruise. It's fun. Good time. Talk and the Talker. Talker's Nick. DC is the true talk. Till next time, guys. We'll see you later.
With Hollywood Cole, I'm with Marla G, bro, flying Hollygrove chicks to my Hollywood shows, and I wanna tell you something that you probably should know, this that Slumdog Millionaire Bollywood flow, and my real friends never hearing from me, fake friends write the wrong answers on the mirror for me.